Colossians chapter 2, and we'll look in the Word of God here, and I would remind you one other person. I wish you'd pray for Brother Poe and Mrs. Poe's daughter, Caitlin Baker. She's right on the verge of having a number two child, and Mrs. Poe has gone there to be with her, so maybe I don't know how good a cook Brother Poe is, you know, but he seemed to be surviving all right, so you might pray, but do pray for them, all right, that everything would go well along that line, there'd be no problems. And all right, Colossians chapter 2, I sitting up here thinking this morning, I went down to Boulevard Baptist Church and their Christian school, asked me to come down and speak in their chapel this morning, so I was down there, and Brother Cooper's the pastor, and he was there, and he told me afterward, he said, yeah, the kids like you. I spoke there twice last year. He said, you get on their level. I said, it's real easy for me to be on their level. It's not a problem. So I can stay on that level. You know, it's rising above that level that's hard for me, okay? So Colossians chapter 2, if you will, look at verse 8. The Bible said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Just going to read that one verse. I want to preach to you tonight just a little bit on beware lest you be spoiled. Beware lest you be spoiled. Now, there were problems in the Apostle Paul's day, just as there are problems in our day. And God used the Apostle Paul in many of the books that he wrote. He dealt with problems, or he warned of possible problems, okay? And those are good. We need to do it. We need to realize it. None of those things went away. They're not a one-time occurrence. We still we have the same God, but we also have to deal with the same devil, okay? And his desire, his goal has never changed. And that's why it's necessary for the local church to constantly be aware of possible troubles, possible false doctrine, possible false teachers. As an individual Christian, you need to be careful, all right? You need to be careful. There's a multitude of things on the internet, all right? Out there on the World Wide Web, and a lot of it needs to be in the worldwide wastebasket, all right? Because it is not good, it's not scriptural, it's not biblical, but yet, if you're not aware, if you don't listen carefully, you can be sucked in, all right? And so Paul's warning against that. God sent him to do that, and he warned the church here at Colossae, and I think about it and look at it and compare those days to this day. I think maybe it's even more difficult in our day and even more possible that we would be spoiled through philosophy and that kind of thing. You say, why? Because the further we move along the path of education, the more careful we need to be. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not against education. Not against education. You say, man, I hope not. Well, yeah, man, we've had a Christian school 46 years. I didn't do that because we're against education. But, I didn't go to Bible college, but I don't want you to think I'm against Bible college. I teach in a Bible college, okay? So I'm not against those things, but here's the problem, all right? I'm really in favor of learning all you can, all right, within some boundaries, with some guidelines on it, all right? Our learning always needs to be tempered with and tried by the truth of the Word of God. It's not, you know, just go learn everything, because there's a lot of garbage out there to learn. There's a lot of things that aren't true, okay? Just they're not. And so you can't buy into it, you can't believe it, and be careful. So Paul warns the church here at Colossae, and he said, beware, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. Notice the first thing he says is through philosophy. Philosophy. A philosophy, that word means lover of wisdom, philosopher, okay? It has to do with a love of wisdom. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing if. All right? The Bible said in all, we're to get wisdom. We're to seek wisdom, but not the wisdom of the world. We need to be careful that the wisdom we're after is the wisdom that's from above. Okay, the wisdom that comes from above. The problem comes in, though, as I said, as education goes along. The more education, the more men gain in education, the more some of them become convinced that they're smarter than God. And you see that kind of thing. Man, I see it. I read it. I don't read it anymore, but I used to read National Geographic. For years and years, I got National Geographic. My wife, when she married me, inherited a stack of National Geographics. She was so happy when I got rid of them, all right? But see, I got rid of them because I got them on disc, and I got them all in a box, all right, that big, you know, so I can go back and take a look at them. But I quit getting them because I got tired of the way they just kept going further and further afield from the truth. And any kind of little idea that seemed to indicate the Bible wasn't true, they jumped on it, all right? They inflated it and they pushed it. And so you get man's philosophy. As he gets educated, he thinks, I'm smarter than God. In the field of philosophy, all of philosophy can be boiled down to basically four major divisions. There's naturalism, realism, idealism, and pragmatism. All right? You say, what do all them mean? I don't know. Because I don't have time to waste looking it up, all right? I'm not interested in that, but I just want to tell you, it's out there, okay? But here's the problem. Here's the problem with philosophy and philosophers. None of them believe in a literal, physical, bodily second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of them. Hey, they don't believe in a literal torment in a literal place called hell. They don't believe in that, all right? No modern philosopher believes the Bible to be the Word of God. There's no champion of the Bible among all of them, okay? If you've got a lot of time to waste, you can read a lot of philosophy. I would strongly urge you not to waste it. Not to waste that time, all right? But I am saying to you, as Paul said, don't get spoiled by philosophy. Philosophy. Years ago, I heard this statement. It was said that a philosopher is one who studies more and more about less and less until he finally knows everything about nothing. And honestly, if you look at it, it's true. It is true. I took philosophy in college a semester. You said, why? For a credit. I figured it'd be easy. It was. It was an absolute waste of time. But it was easy, all right? We didn't do it. But I ran across this poem in study, and I think it fits philosophy. Now listen closely. Across the moorlands of the knot, we chase the gruesome when. We hunt the itness of the what. Through forest of the then. Into the inner consciousness we track the crafty where. We spear the ego tough and beard the self within its lair. With lassos of the brain we catch the isness of the was. And in the bushes of the whence we hear the think bees buzz. We climb the slippery which to see the pallid thusness roll. And lift the mover from the why above the over soul. You say, what'd you just say? I have no idea. I have no idea, okay? But I want to say to you, that's essentially what you get when you really begin to delve into philosophy. And it's just, it's guys that sit and begin to let their mind wander, if you will, and they come up with all these great ideas. To them, God is, and I quote, God in essence is the thinghood of the whatness of the unmoved mover. And I've mentioned to you Professor Irwin Corey, who was a comedian. And he could talk a long time and really say nothing. Amen. Well, that's just what we've just seen. But a lot of people, man, philosophy, they let it tie them up. And they begin to listen to it and they buy into it. And they get spoiled, okay? They get spoiled by philosophy. The Apostle Paul said, don't let that happen to you. Beware, all right? Lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Then it says vain deceit. Vain deceit. Vain deceit is essentially a man deceiving you into accepting a thought, a belief, a principle, or a course of action which is unprofitable. That's why it's called vain. And remember, it's deceit. It's deceptive. It's deceptive. It's somebody that's out there pulling the wool over your eyes, all right? Vain deceit. Now, let me give you some examples. God is everybody's father. That's not true. That is a vain deceit. That is a vain deceit. Hey, we hear this kind of thing. We all worship the true God under different names. We don't. I'm pretty sure it was when George W. Bush was president, he made the statement that the Muslims and the Christians worship the same God. That is not true. That is just not true. That is a vain deceit. It is totally unprofitable, all right? And there's many things like that out there. Hey, we're all God's children. Not according to John 8:44. The Lord said, some of you are father the devil. So we're not all God's children. Listen, folks, I say this to people on a regular basis, witnessing to people. I tell them, look, you get into the family of God same way you got into your family. In one sense, I said, you got into your family by birth. You were born into your family. All right? Hey, well, you're born into the family of God in a spiritual birth. And if you're not born into his family, then you're not his child. If you've never been born again, you're not his child. But yet we hear that vain deceit. People said, well, we're just all God's children. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not all God's children. That is a sweet, lovey-dovey idea that gives you a warm feeling in your stomach if you're ignorant and don't know any better. But if you're a Bible believer, it just aggravates you to think, why would you propagate that kind of lie? Vain deceit, all right? Vain deceit. And then you get the one that says you ought to never criticize anybody else's faith. Never criticize anybody else. Well, wait a minute. They're wrong. They're wrong. So you never criticize. Never criticize. If somebody doesn't stand up and point out something's wrong, you can't ever get right. Somebody has to say, hey, that's wrong. That's wrong. Now, I don't believe you got to be ornery about it. I don't believe you got to be nasty about it. I don't think you have to be arrogant about it. You know, but hey, we've got to stand for what is right. But we have that thing called vain deceit, where so many people get sucked into these things. Why? Because we've heard it. And you get them repeated over and over and over. And the more they're repeated, the more people begin to believe it, and they buy into that. It's not true. Paul said, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Don't do it. Don't do it. Notice then he said, after the tradition of men. Oh, my soul, when it comes to traditions, there's all kinds of traditions. There's all kinds. Now, by the way, I'm not saying all traditions are bad. Hey, we're coming up to Thanksgiving time of year. It's a tradition that you have turkey and dressing. I sort of enjoy the tradition. Now, I don't preach you got to have turkey and dressing, all right? If I did, there's some of you in here be real mad because you don't like turkey, all right? You say, I don't like that old dead bird. Well, okay. You know, whatever, all right? But, I mean, it's nothing wrong with that tradition. But wait a minute. We're not telling you that tradition to get you to heaven, all right? It's not a spiritual tradition. But there are some traditions that the world feeds, the tradition of men. I'll give you one. Peter was the first pope. That's a tradition of man. That's a tradition of man. There's no evidence whatsoever. I mean, there's just none. You've got to go a long ways to juggle that and decide that's it, okay? But one that goes hand in hand with it is the popes or the successors of the apostles. That's not true. There's nothing in the Bible that even talks about anything remotely akin to an apostolic succession, all right? Nothing like that. But yet, how many people in the world believe it? Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about folks that are Catholic. And please don't misunderstand. You know, people, when you try to talk about something that's wrong, it's incorrect scripturally, well, you're bashing. No, I'm not bashing. Look, I don't have any. I don't have any animosity to Catholic people whatsoever, none whatsoever, any more than I do Episcopalian, Methodist, Congregationalist, Primitive Baptist, Southern Baptist, pick one, anybody, all right? Have no animosity toward them. But I tell you what, I'm not going to buy into the tradition of men that they advertise and they go with, all right? We're just not going to buy that, all right? There's a tradition of men that says water baptism is part of spiritual salvation. That's a tradition of men. It's not in the scripture. You don't see anybody that was baptized to be born again. Now you feed people that were baptized because they were born again, but not in order to be born again. Tradition of men. A tradition of men. There's a lot of people say, well, I just don't believe God sent anybody to hell. That's a tradition of man. That's a tradition of man. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from a lack of understanding of the Bible. Comes from a lack of understanding of God Almighty. Hey, people just, they don't have a grasp of it, all right? Hey, here's another tradition, man. It's enough to just be sincere in what you believe. Man, I've heard people tell me that. Said, as long as you're sincere, you're okay. Well, the only problem is a lot of people sincerely wrong. And they're just as sincere as they can be. But they're wrong. That's a tradition of man. Well, preacher, you think you're the only one that's right. No, I don't. No, I don't. Not at all. Now, what I think is the Bible's the only thing that's right. Okay? Not just because men teach it. And by the way, they go through the scriptures and try to justify those kind of things. I'll give you one that may surprise some of you. There's a tradition of men that says the Bible teaches us to work together for world peace. Bible doesn't do that. The Bible very plainly lets us know there will not be world peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Now, we can work for world peace all you want to, but you're not going to get it here, all right? You're not going to get it here. But that's a tradition of man. And you see that kind of thing. You have people, you know, you have a world peace day, and you have people, we're going to pray for peace, and we want everybody to do it. Wonderful, wonderful, but it's not scriptural. Not a biblical thing whatsoever. Hey, what's wrong? That's why Paul says, hey, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. The tradition of men. I'll tell you another one. The King James Bible is just another translation. No, it's not. It's not just another translation. There's something different about it compared to all the other translations since that one. Very different. But I see things on Facebook occasionally where people exhibit their great wisdom and they make statements like that. You know, it's just translation, you know. And I'm thinking, man, you don't know what you're talking about. But it's after the tradition of men, okay, following the philosophy of man. Now, by the way, the philosophy of man always elevates man, always lifts man up, but at the same time tries to bring God down. We live in a day where they're trying to put men up and bring God down to our level. I'm glad our God's not going to do that. I'm glad it doesn't work that way. I'm glad His promise to us is He's going to bring us up to His level, all right? Not going to bring him down. So he says, don't be spoiled. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, the tradition of men. And then it says, the rudiments of the world. The world's ideas get elevated, position equal with that of God. You said, after the rudiments of the world, like what? This statement, how many times? Well, everybody else is doing it. Now, I used to hear that a lot working with teenagers. Man, you'd talk to a teenager about what they were doing and, you know, need to stop. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Well, okay, that makes it okay. Right? If everybody's doing it, makes it okay. Well, man, I don't know why Noah had to build that boat. Everybody was doing it, all right? Everybody was doing wrong. So God said, okay, fine. Noah, you build a boat because I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to destroy creation. But we get the idea. That's the rudiments of the world. Everybody's doing it. And then you get this one. Boy, I love it. My conscience doesn't convict me. Or I don't feel convicted. I don't feel convicted. Look, you know, I hope you understand, when the Bible says something, it doesn't matter if you feel convicted or not. That doesn't make any difference. Because what the Bible says is true. It's true. Now, the last time I read my Bible, the Bible talks about your conscience being seared. You know, you can get that thing seared, you'd never be convicted about anything. Hey, I'll tell you this, I don't believe Jeffrey Dahmer was convicted about anything. I believe he had seared his conscience. It didn't bother him at all to kill people, to eat people. I mean, what he did didn't bother him at all. There was no, he didn't lay awake at night because of it. Well, it didn't bother him. Now, it would make a normal person sick just to think about what he did. So how could he do it? Well, it's okay, he didn't feel convicted. You say, well, preacher, now you're carrying that too far. Well, wait a minute. Can I say this to you? If Brother Marshall doesn't feel convicted, so it's okay for him not to do what the Bible says, then if I don't feel convicted, I don't have to do what the Bible says either. But it's not a matter how me and you feel. It's not a matter how anybody feels. It's what the Word of God says. All right? It's what the Bible has to say. The Apostle Paul was writing to that church at Colossae saying, you need to beware. You need to be careful, because there's some slick folks out there, all right? And they come across sounding mighty good. Sounds wonderful. But the Bible said, man, it's after the rudiments of the world. Hey, I'll give you another one. Hey, preacher, come on, you got to make a living. You got to make a living. You got to make a living, all right? Then you got this gem. Well, it all depends on how you look at it. Okay, all depends on how you look at it. Hey, can I say this to you? We better look at it the way God looks at it. We better take His view. We better examine that. Then how many times you heard people say, well, we know when to quit. Yeah, sure. Sure. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying don't be spoiled by the rudiments of the world. Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, wait a minute. When you think of spoil, what do you think of? Most of the time when we think of spoil, we think of something that's gone bad and it's maybe rotten and the only thing to do with it is useless, so let's throw it away. That's what it is, all right? But I'm going to say to you, I don't believe that's the meaning of the word spoil here. We look at it that way. Spoiled is also a term that kind of has a military connection or connotation. If you read in the Old Testament, it talks about they would invade and they would spoil those people. All right? Now, what that means is when they spoil those people, the defeated people were spoiled by the victors. All right? Now, they weren't made rotten. Okay? And they didn't curdle their milk, all right? That wasn't what was happening. But what it means is that nation, the defeated nation, was plundered, robbed, and stripped of everything of value. That's how you spoiled them, all right? You spoiled your enemy. You took of the spoil. We've heard that saying, the spoils of war. Spoils of war. What is it? Well, when you attack, you take whatever you want, all right? You take whatever you want. You're the winner. You can take whatever it is. Hey, listen, that's what Paul's talking about when he said, beware lest any man spoil you. Because what he's talking about is you're going to lose something. And he said, what you're going to lose is going to be of great value. And I'll be honest, I look at a lot of Christians in this whole world thinking about this passage of Scripture, and I think that's exactly where they are. One thing, they've lost the joy of their salvation. They've lost the joy that goes with salvation. Why? They've listened to the philosophy of the world. They bought into that vain deceit. And it's robbed them of the joy of their salvation. God gives us something. When you get saved, it brought a joy to you. It brought a thrill to you. It did to my heart when I got saved. And man, if I just sit down and relive it, it does it all over again, all right? And I found out that that joy is better now than it was then. What a blessing to be a child of God. But man, you see people that get spoiled by the philosophy of the world. And you say, how do they do that? Because they begin to doubt this book. You begin to doubt this book. Hey, when you hear somebody say, well, there's mistakes. There's mistakes in this. That should have been translated. Now, let me just say this to you. I've got a ton of books in my library. A bunch. And every so often I'll be reading, and I can get stuff and get ideas and help. But every once in a while I read the guy, and he'll say, now, that they translated that word wrong. And I'll be honest with you, I read that and I think, really? You're one guy. One guy. I just want to tell you something. You want to do a study sometime. Instead of wasting your time on reading philosophy, all right, you open up and read about the fellows translated this book. Amen. You begin to study out the ones that God used to give us the Bible. You talking about geniuses, they were, man, their IQ was way past anything, you know right? We're talking about people could speak, five, six, seven languages. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but there's one guy, he took a vacation every year, and his vacation was going somewhere, and he'd learn a new language on that vacation. Now, he was gifted by God to be able to learn languages. They came to him a lot easier than they do you and me. That's why we still can't speak English, all right? But we keep trying, all right? We keep trying. But what I'm saying to you is those men, the groups of them, all right, and every part of this book was gone over not by one man one time, but a group. They'd translate, then they'd get together, that group that had that section of the scripture, and they'd work up theirs. And after they got that section, they would submit their translation to other groups that were involved translating different. Man, it went through five, six different times. I mean, it was examined. And now I have one guy that says they were wrong. They were wrong. Oh, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. But when you get that kind of stuff going, you cause people, if you listen to that kind of stuff, you begin to doubt the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. You begin to doubt the Word of God, you're going to lose the joy of salvation. You're going to lose the joy of that salvation. All right? Now, you don't have to be into sin. Now, if you get into sin, you lose the joy of salvation too. But you don't have to be into that. But you begin to doubt the veracity and the truth of the Word of God. You'll get to where you quit depending upon God and begin to trust in what you can do. You can do. And you're in trouble. What's happened? You're being spoiled by philosophy. You're being spoiled by philosophy. You get out of fellowship with God. Hey, listen, when you doubt what he says, you get out of fellowship. I'll pick on Brother Marshall again. He's close. He and I have fellowship, but I begin to think, that rascal's a liar. How do you think that's going to affect our fellowship? I don't want to hang around him. He doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't tell the truth. I don't want to be in here. You know, now, I can still be friendly. Don't misunderstand me. I don't have to be rude to him. I can still be friendly, but I'm going, no, I ain't hanging around you. I don't, you know what you tell, I don't know if I can believe anything or not, you know. I'm saying to you, when you get to the point where through philosophy and vain deceit and the rudiments of the world and all of those things, the tradition of men, you get to where you doubt the Word of God, it ruins your fellowship with God. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, you beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of this world. He said, you be careful that you don't let that happen, all right? Hey, you'll get out of the will of God. I guarantee you when you get out of the will of God, you're spoiled. You have been, man, you have lost something of great value. It's been taken away from you. You've been robbed. You get to the point where you doubt God can or will help you or even wants to help you. Why? Because you've been spoiled. You've been spoiled by the man, all right? The philosophy of this whole world. And that's what the Apostle Paul's saying to us. Now listen, that is true of us as a church. It is true of each one of us as individuals. Be careful that you don't let people philosophize to you. You listen to a lot of what passes for preaching in a lot of these big mega churches, and it's all philosophy, and it's all psychology. It's not Scripture. It's not Scripture. Now, wait a minute. It sounds good. Because those people that give it are gifted communicators. Now, not necessarily preachers, but they're gifted communicators. What do you mean? Well, they got away with words. They've got away with words. You know, like the guy said, boy, he could sell ice to an Eskimo, right? Well, there's a lot of people in this whole world like that. And so God says to us, you beware. You beware that you don't let any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, all right, and the rudiments of this world. And notice what he says, and not after Christ. It needs to be after him, all right? We need to be so careful. He said, well, what do I need? How do I consider it? I'll tell you this. I might put it this way. We talked a little bit about the rudiments of the world. Let's talk a little bit about the rudiments of biblical Christianity. Does it please God? Does it please God? There's a question you ought to ask yourself. Is this going to please God? Is it going to please him? Hey, is it going to edify? Is it going to build up? Or is it going to tear somebody down? If it's not going to edify, we just stay away from it. I was talking to some kids at school today. We had a little problem, and I'm talking to them, and I said, look, if you know, the old saying is if you can't say something good, just keep your mouth shut. So you ought to keep your mouth shut, all right? I said, y'all are talking. There's things you're saying. It's not, you know, you're rude. It's vindictive. Don't do it. Don't do it. It was kind of interesting to me. I said at chapel in Burleson today, and I used two students, and I gave them names. I called one Billy Bruiser Bully, and I called the other one Ramona Run Your Mouth. Okay? And I said, you know, those kind of people cause a lot of trouble. And they do. They do. Well, wait a minute. That's why you ask yourself, what I'm going to do, is it going to please Christ? Is it going to edify somebody? Hey, just very simply, is it right? Well, I think it's... No, I didn't ask you if you thought it was right. When we start talking about what is right, I think it's right according to the Word of God. Is it right scripturally? We need to consider that, all right? How will it look at the judgment seat of Christ? How's it going to look there? I'll never forget. It was years and years ago I heard Pete Ruckman preach. And he said, maybe I'm wrong. He said, maybe I'm wrong about the King James Bible. He said, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not the Word of God. But he said, I don't think I'm going to get in too much trouble at the judgment seat of Christ. He said, I don't think the Savior is going to say you're going to beat your britches off because you believe that book was the Word of God. But he said, I sure don't want to be in the position of those that don't believe it is and they find out it is. They find out it is. He said, just give you some things to consider. The world's got its philosophy. God's people ought to have some, all right? But it's biblical. One of the greatest things you consider, how's that going to look at the judgment seat of Christ? How's that going to look at the judgment seat of Christ? Man, is it right? Does it please God? If it does, go to it. But now, wait a minute. Be sure you know that the Bible says it pleases God, not just some other people say it. All right, be careful. Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you. Don't let it happen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the warnings you give us.